Hi guys, welcome to EDF Action Academy. This is our session on offline voter contact, and it's going to be conducted by Jeremy Bird, who is a founding partner of 270 Strategies and a veteran of many, many Democratic campaigns. With that, Jeremy.
Thank you, Morgan, and thank you all for tuning in. I'm really excited to have the opportunity to talk to you all today. I'm going to talk for a little bit about organizing, about my experience, and just to give you a little bit more background on me, I've been organizing in the political world for both electoral campaigns as well as nonprofits for about the last 18 years. Most recently, in 2012, I was the national field director for Barack Obama's campaign and have been running a company called 270 for the last 5 years, and have had the opportunity to work with, our company has had the opportunity to work with about 300 different campaigns all across the world. And so I'm just excited to be able to share a little bit about organizing with you. I just want to talk a little bit about sort of what we're talking about here and sort of frame it for all of you. We're talking about something that a lot of people call field, some people call grassroots, some people call voter contact, and other people call it a bunch of different things. It's known in some cases as ground game, or offline is called often, which is, for those who have been doing this for a while, a very new term, as it used to be. There was no difference from offline and online. And then what I prefer to use is really the term organizing. And the reason I prefer this term when we're talking about voter contact and essentially talking to people through other people, it's sort of the simple nature of what we're talking about. You've had a lot of curriculum about messaging, and there's been a lot about people often talk about and know about, you know, television and other forms of communication. But what we're talking about is really person to person. And so I call it organizing because particularly, it's, you know, in the year 2018, people are kind of going on and offline. And essentially what we're trying to do is figure out, in my mind, how do you build the ability, and an organization has the ability to communicate with people. And some of that will happen using digital tools, and a lot of it will happen door to door, on the phones, et cetera. And so I'm going to talk about organizing, and I particularly want to talk about the highest level of organizing, which is how do you actually build relational organizing. But I just use this as a little bit of a kind of, this is what we're talking about. But the first question, I think, in building a campaign and thinking about organizing is why? Why not just spend all of your resources on television? Why not just go to local events? And does it work? And therefore, should I invest in it and actually really want to understand the how? So the first question is the why. Typically, when I grew up in campaigns in kind of the early 2000s, this stuff that we're talking about now was a little bit kind of like the icing on the cake. People talked about volunteers. They talked about field as kind of having very, very limited impact on campaigns. And so there wasn't a ton of investment in that. We've seen that change with Republican campaigns, with Democratic campaigns, with nonprofits, et cetera, as people have, I think, learned a lot more through data and analytics about the power of organizing. And so I just want to give you a couple of stats. And I'm drawing both of these from some research that's done by a group called the Analyst Institute. But they looked at particularly turnout and the ability of a face-to-face conversation to get somebody to vote. And in 2008, a bunch of research showed that you could have a 4 to 7% increase in turnout per conversation. So that means if I talk to 100 people, I could have as many as 7 people who otherwise weren't going to vote turn out to vote, and then have another 100 conversations. And the question is, how can you do that to scale? In 2016, they did a similar study and found within that same range about a 5% bump in turnout through conversations. In our research that we did on the 2012 campaign, we found that we could have between a 7 and 10% increase in turnout and in persuadability, meaning moving somebody to vote for us who was already going to vote, if we were using the right kind of data and talking to the right folks. So I think there's a lot of evidence out there that shows that talking to people can have an increase in their turnout. And especially in close races, this could be the determining factor. I think what's not talked about in the research enough is the ability to these face-to-face conversations, particularly in local races, to have an impact on the overall narrative and to get people to really start talking to their neighbors and their friends and their coworkers and people they go to PTA with or go to church with about a certain candidate or about their issues and their ideas. So the why is because it works and you're trying to win because you believe in what you're fighting for. And we believe it actually has, I believe that it has a more powerful impact in terms of the ability to spread through social networks. And particularly on campaigns where there's a lot of television or a lot of mail or a lot of noise, it's also, especially in a day and age where people are getting a ton of information sent to them one way, not getting a lot of ability to interact and have a real conversation. And so I think that's where what we're talking about with field really has like an added benefit. I want to talk a little bit about how, like, what do we mean when we talk about field and what do we mean when we talk about building relationships, what do we mean when we talk about voter contact? I think about it in three ways, or maybe a framework for you to think about what we're talking about. The first is really the who. Who are we actually trying to talk to? And do you know what that is? And one word used often in campaign jargon is universe. Who are the voters that you actually need to talk to? What is your message? And you've had a lot of folks talk to you about message. What are you actually saying to those people? And then how? How are you actually mobilizing them or activating them moving them, mobilizing them towards voting first and then voting for your candidacy second? I want to talk about these three things. I'm not going to talk much about the second one because we've had other conversations there, but I just want to talk, as I think about field organizing, how I think about why these three buckets matter and why you really have to know the first one before you can do the third piece here, the first and second one before you can do the third piece. Everybody who talks about field organizing jumps automatically into tactics. And they say, field is knocking on doors, or field is making phone calls, or field, these are tactics that are a huge part of organizing, but they have to be within the context of your overall strategy. And you have to be thinking about how that overall strategy works in tandem with all the other lessons that you've had. But the real question is, who are you actually trying to talk to? And that will change a lot of your tactics and a lot of the organizing work that you do. And there's really two things you're looking at. One is turnout, and two is support. Essentially, you want to know, who are the people that would vote for me and my candidacy if they actually voted? And then who are those people that are going to vote and I need to work on them actually supporting my candidacy? It's really, that's what it's about. It's figuring out who are you actually trying to talk to. And the real first step here is getting a voter file. And understanding who is your constituency. And both parties have national voter files through their actual parties, and then there's other resources to find. But the voter file, essentially, where it comes from, is from every state. And every state has a secretary of state or an election administration that has every registered voter who's registered in that state on a file of which you can get. It's public information. So what you need is the registered voters in your jurisdiction, wherever you're running. And you want to know who those folks are. And those are people who are registered to vote. Then what's not on there are people who are not registered to vote. And that's where you have to build, you know, go out and do voter registration, actually add people to the voter file. The big thing about voter files and what you need to know is every state's different. And the big question is, does your voter file registration? Because party registration in a lot of states, it's actually on the file. In some states, it's not. That's going to tell you a lot about somebody's previous voting, if you're a Republican candidate or a Democratic candidate or running in a primary. And so getting that information is kind of where you start. And the big thing on a voter file, it will tell you some people's first name, last name, typically their gender. In some states, it will tell you their ethnicity, and it'll tell you obviously their address, where they've registered to vote. In some cases, you'll have additional information like phone number. But what it will tell you is what previous elections they have voted in. And that's really important as you think about who's likely to vote. Somebody that always votes in municipal elections is likely to vote in the next municipal election. It will not tell you who they voted for. But it will tell you typically if they voted in a Democratic primary or Republican primary. Again, very important information for you to know. This is really in a data mentality, but I say this because it's really important that I think every campaign, and when you think about organizing, it has to be about the people. It's not rows in an Excel file, it's people. It's the actual people that you really want, that your voters. That's what matters the most, your constituency. And so you'll want to come up with what a lot of people have historically called a win number, which is how many voters that are in my district do I need to win? And basically you get that by looking at who do we think is going to turn out to vote, and then if there are multiple candidates, for example, in a primary, how many do I need to win? If it's a general election and it's just two candidates, I need 50 plus 1% of that. And that then gives you a sense of how many people do I need to get to vote for me? And then you can set everything from that. And that's where you really get to. And you had a session from Mark Beatty kind of in the curriculum about getting to goals and really figuring out how to get there. So I'm not going to get too much into that. But I think it all starts with that, because then you think about voters as that's what you're trying to do with organizing, is you're trying to connect your campaign one-on-one and in groups to those voters and then get those people to vote for you. That's really what this is all about. Another way to think about this, the last thing I want to say before I get into the how of the organizing, is you can really put people, you can kind of, this is a traditional way of thinking about voters in a little bit of buckets. And again, you'll want to get down to the actual individual voter, but there's basically three groups of voters. There's always voters, there's sometimes voters, and there's never voters. Or maybe at least a not yet voter. So people who are always voting. You go back, and since they turned 18, they voted in every single election. You've got people who vote maybe just in presidentials and haven't voted in state legislative races. And then you have people who have had the opportunity to vote for a number of years and haven't voted. This group, in my mind, really depends on their age, because there's some people that just weren't able to vote last time. So you got to think about people that some people don't. It's not about giving up on these people, I don't think. So you really want to think about people in kind of these categories. And there's certain ways to like group people, but people definitely are going to be here. And then you have kind of how have they voted. And we don't know who they voted for in the past on these votes, but we do know if they always vote Democratic or if they always vote Republican. And then you have your swing voters, your persuadable voters, et cetera. There really are different buckets, you could say. There's about, you know, nine buckets here of people. And depends on what race you're running is how you're going to be thinking about these folks, right? So if I'm running in a Republican primary, this group of people, always voting Republican, always voters, and always voting Republican primaries, these voters really matter a lot over here. They're always voting Republican. If I'm voting in a Democratic primary, these voters here really matter a lot, right? And if I'm running in a general election as a Republican candidate, I care a lot about these people. These people are probably going to be most likely to be my donors, my volunteers, because they're always these folks down here. I really want to do GOTV, get out the vote work too, which we'll talk about in a second, because they're always voting Republican, but when they turn out the vote. And then I want to spend a lot of time on these swing voters here, depending upon my win number. And so that's what it'll look like, you know, similarly in a general election for a Democratic candidate. So the first thing I would just say is, like, it doesn't really matter the details here. The real most important thing is that you have your constituency. You know how many people are there, how many people are registered, how many people are not registered. And of those people that you think that your campaign thinks are going to turn out to vote based on history, how many of them do you need? And then you have a win number. And then you need to actually figure out, how do I get that many people to support me? And obviously you're going to do a ton of stuff with your messaging, which we've talked about in previous sessions, and with TV and other forms of mass communication to get you to that win number. What I want to talk about is the non-mass communication front, the actual interaction, the field organizing piece of that. And that's what we want to spend kind of the rest of the time talking about. The way that I think about it is basically this. You have a bunch of voters here, what we just talked about. You've got a bunch of people living in your district who you need to talk to. They're diverse, they're interesting, they've got jobs, they've got kids, they've got a lot going on. And this is the universe of voters over here that you're trying to talk to. And then you've got your campaign over here. You know, you got your candidate, you've got whatever resources you have to hire, you know, organizers, to hire the communication staff that you need, or maybe you have very, very little resources and it's just a couple of people here on the campaign side. You're going to be doing a ton of stuff to mass communicate to these folks, right? One-way communication, right? You're going to have, you know, mail. You're going to be sending these people mail, right? And that's very hard to make interactive, but you want to push out your message that way. You know, you're going to be sending these people, you're going to be, in some cases where you have the ability, you know, you're going to have, you know, television. This is an old school television. We're actually communicating your message. And that's, not everybody can afford that, and a lot of districts are really expensive, but that's one way to communicate. And then you have your digital, where, you know, you've got a lot of ways to send out messages, you know, whether you're putting on Facebook or, you know, in some of that case, you can really become interactive. It starts to get a little bit more interactive here, but a lot of that, especially on the advertising front, you're pushing out your message. You're saying, this is what I want to say about who I am. This is why you should vote for me, and you're pushing that message out. And there's lots of other things that you can do here, but those are kind of the big ways in which you're kind of one-way communicating at voters. And again, I think on digital, you can start to get at the communication coming back. But what we're trying to do is say, all right, how do you create an organization that's two-way communication and that reaches people where they are, at the doorstep, in a local meeting? And that's really what we want to talk about, which is how do you create some organization here of volunteers to come back to the campaign or staff that can communicate with these folks, that can do a couple of things, that can, one, ID them, which is to say, have a conversation where that voter says back, not based on a model, not based on a poll, but says back, I'm voting for your candidate, I want to vote for your candidate, I don't know who I'm going to vote for, or I'm going to vote for the other candidates in the race. You want to have this organization that can ID those folks, that can persuade them, have actual persuasion conversations, and then can get them out to vote when they're voting for you. Essentially, your team, the organization you're building, whether it's staff, because you have resources to hire organizers, or all volunteer, you want to build an organization here that can communicate at scale to a number of people. And if you go back to what I said when I started about the why, if you have 100 people over here and this organization can talk to all 100 of them, you can start moving 5 to 10 of those folks who were already going to vote for you, but maybe not going to turn out, to definitely turning out, or 5 to 10 of those folks to vote for you, who otherwise were going to vote for the other candidacy or stay undecided in the race. So the real question is, how do you build this organization? And how do you create a field and an organizing team that can have many, many conversations and represent the candidate? That's kind of the biggest thing that I was talking about in running a national presidential field operation. Is basically what I was trying to do in running the whole country was to, at the very local level, at the city council level or at the block level, I wanted to figure out how we could have volunteers who were basically saying the same thing as the candidate at that local level and then having a real dialogue with somebody. If you can do that, you can have incredible progress in terms of what you're trying to accomplish. So what you want to do with these folks, with this organization, to get them to do that kind of ID persuasion and turnout work, is you got to actually build the organization. So you need to recruit, train, and then mobilize those volunteers. Be able to then talk to everybody else. Recruitment, how do you do that? There's a lot of different ways to do the recruitment, but essentially you want to go out and have one-on-one conversations. If you're running in a primary, you're going to look at, on your voter file, you're going to look at people who have voted in past primaries as probably one of your first. Then you're going to look at people who have signed up online. people who already have said, I'm interested in your candidacy. You want to go out and meet with them. Have a one-on-one conversation with them. Why are they already interested in your campaign? And build a real relationship with them. You want to do house meetings. Old tactic, but where you can, where the candidate can be in the room. You take anybody that's interested in your candidacy, you put them in a room from somebody that you already met with who supports you, and then you're able to have a conversation with them, and then you bring them in. That's how you recruit them. You just call them. Recruitment calls. You have staff or other volunteers, you just call them and say, we want you to be involved in our campaign. And obviously you can use social networks online and in the real world. And so you want to use social networks. Somebody's liking your page on Facebook, ask them to come meet with one of your organizers. Bring them in. But there's lots of different ways to recruit. Once you have one person that's on board, we want them to get to their social network and bring other people in. And essentially, you want to grow that pie of potential volunteer leaders, but you're really just trying to get recruitment of your volunteers. And then you want to train them. You want to train them on how to have those conversations with voters. You want to talk to them about, you know, what the message of the campaign is and how to deliver that. You want to train them on how to go door to door. You want to train them on how to call some random voter who isn't yet involved in the campaign and talk to them about your candidacy. So the training piece is really critical to that organization being built and happening. And then finally, you want to actually get them to do the work. A lot of people, this is where the voter contact happens. And you want to bring them in, train them, and then get them to actually do the voter contact. The big things that you want to do in terms of the sort of, once they're in the funnel, the training and the mobilization, is you have to invest. Not about money, although that's, some people will you know, spend some resources on this, but what I mean by that is you want to actually invest your time. So when I worked on the presidential campaign in 2012, when we brought somebody in and we were training them, we would make sure that the candidate was talking to these people backstage before an event to show how important it was. We're investing in them. They matter. And so you want to do that. You want to say thank you. You know, you want to show appreciation. Almost everybody that you bring into this organization has a job, family, other commitments, could be doing other things. They're sacrificing. And in the same way that you are to run for public office or to be engaged in public impact. But you want to make sure that you're recognizing them, you're thanking them. And then obviously, you know, you want to train them. And you want to really think about developing them. When your campaign's over, your folks should be able to run for office themselves, should be able to run campaigns themselves. And that's a real testament to something that you're offering somebody. So that it's not like when somebody's volunteering for you, they're doing you a favor. You're letting them act upon their values, and you're investing back in them, and it should be something that's mutually beneficial. On the mobilization front, let's get into nitty-gritty about what we're talking about, and then we'll take questions and wrap up here. We're really talking about, again, like I said, a lot of people jump right into the tactics, but when we talk about communicating that message, we're really talking about phones. You got to find people where they are. You got to call them. Door to door. Those are really the two biggest ways in which we can talk to folks. But then there's other. There's house meetings, which I talked about before, which you can do not just for volunteers, but for any other type of meeting or event with voters, town halls, etc., that you want to drive people to. And then there's digital. And I add that here because basically, you know, phones and doors, but then we can also directly have conversation from our volunteers to voters, whether it's through email or social media, and I don't want to sort of let this not be a part of it. But what most people are talking about often, we talk about field or voter contact, is calling somebody or going to their doors. A couple of things about this is we have found, and this is, you'll just know this from the world that you live in, that every year phones become less and less reliable in that finding somebody from a voter file phone number and them actually picking up the phone. But the contact rate has decreased dramatically, and it continues to do year over year. It's still a very efficient way, especially if you have the resources to use an auto dialer or any other technology that will like basically call through until somebody picks up. It can be somewhat expensive, and I won't get into all the details here, but you can look up auto dialers if that's something that you really want to do. But calling people still does work, especially voters who are in the voter file and who have good phone numbers. It's still a method that really works. Door-to-door is actually, we found, very effective in research. And I think it's becoming more and more effective because it's so rare. Right? People are not used to somebody knocking on their door. When you're in an urban environment, it can be somewhat hard if there's a lot of apartments and other places to get in, but typically in suburban areas and rural areas, et cetera, as long as there's a culture of this, going door to door and actually having that face-to-face conversation, something that can be very, very impactful. So you want to think about what your tactics are, and then you want to think about, all right, how much of this, if I want to talk to, if my win number is 100 people, and I need to talk to these 300 people in order to get there. You want to figure out how you can do this where they live. Use that voter file. Go out and have those conversations. Those are really the tactics that we talk about when we talk about voter contact. And then the last thing I'll say is, in all of this, there's an element of accountability and reporting. So you basically you want to know how many volunteers. You want to know how many conversations, and you want to know the number of supporters. There's all sorts of fancy stuff out there. You can do, you can report on lots of different metrics. But at the end of the day, the first thing you need to do is build a number of volunteers. And you need that number to be as many as it takes to turn out the number of supporters you need. And then you need to have conversations and know how many conversations. One of the biggest pitfalls is people will look at vanity numbers and say, they'll look at and say, I made X number of phone calls, I knocked on X number of doors. Sure, that matters in the sense of like how many doors did you hit, but really the question is, how many people did you have a real conversation with? Because again, it's back to, we can move people if we talk to them, and then how many supporters do we have? And at the end of the day, the supporter number in a you want to get to essentially be whatever your win number is at a local race. So these are the three things that matter. You can have different variations of these. You can have number of volunteer team leaders. You want to know how many team leaders you have in the right geographic areas. But at the end of the day, how many people are really volunteering for you? Not just said they want to volunteer, but actually coming in and doing shift. How many people have you talked to, and how many people are with you? And when you talk to people, you want to know, do they support you? Are they undecided? Do they support your opponent? And then you can build on that. You want to, the people that are with you in those conversations are typically in considered ones, or people that are on board. You want to turn those people out. The people that are undecided, you want to have further conversations with them. You want to invite them to events. You want to add them to your digital media program, et cetera. And those people who are with you, you want them to volunteer. And that's really what we talked about when we talked about field organizing. So I know I simplified it to some extent, but that's how I think about what we're talking about when we talk about organizing is how do you know who you're talking to, and then build an organization that can deliver that message that you've created that shares your real story with folks, and then how do you build up an organization of volunteers by training them, investing in them, thanking them, recognizing them, equipping them, developing them professionally so that they can represent the campaign in the community. And then how do you figure out how many people do you need to talk to as voters, how many conversations, and then in those conversations, finding out who's with you, get your win number, and then turn those people out to vote through GOTV or get out the vote. So with that, I think I'll open it up for the question part of this.
All right. So what would be the best way to leverage your Enviro's street credentials to recruit volunteers?
Yeah. I mean, I think the first thing is like with Enviro credentials, like the biggest thing you have is relationships. So the first thing I would start with is, you have done things with people, you've shown up, you've been there, you've been a leader, And so people trust you in the environmental world. And so that would be the first group of people, people that you have real relationships with that you can reach out to. And obviously, you know their values, right? If you did work with them on environmental issues before, you know that's what they care about. It's probably going to be a big part of your platform, or at least a big one of the big parts of it. So connecting there on their values is huge. And then just leveraging your own trust and the relationships that you've built. So I would start there with people you know. With people you don't know, I think it's using organization, you know, organization to organization. So there are organizations that, you know, in your area really care about environmental issues. And so how do you reach out to those organizations and some of their leadership and, you know, introduce yourself and then build, you know, the network from there. So I think individuals in the network and then organizations that know and trust you and the organizations that you've represented, et cetera.
Okay, cool.
Great.
Hey, Trevor.
Sorry. So how would you suggest that a candidate or a field program how do you think they should address targeting, especially in like a universe to get to their supporters, especially if they don't have polling or access to information about who their strongest supporters are?
Yeah, and I think that's really an important question, and I assume a lot of folks who are watching, you know, you don't have access to, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 poll, nor would I never necessarily recommend you have to do that right away. And then you probably don't have access to, you know, a model, which would also be a very expensive to figure out who, you know, who's who and where they are on the voter file. So I think in absence of that, you take the voter file and you look at past voting history to determine who you think is going to vote. And then you figure out, depending on whether it's a general or primary, who that universe of people is, and then you start reaching out to them. And obviously there'll be, you know, there sometimes are geographic differences, like in an area where maybe you're running and there's, you know, part of a city and part suburbs and part, you know, rural, you might start targeting, you know, from a geographic perspective. But I think the first thing to target is just people that, you know, high turnout voters. And then to build out your volunteer base, you know, you don't need to target that necessarily. It's like you basically want to put out everything you can, and then anybody that comes your way. So what I mean by that is anything digitally, anybody that's, you know, signing up on your website, you want to follow up with them immediately because they're telling you they can be, you know, be on your team. And targeting, by the way, you do targeting because you need to limit your resources. So you don't have to target if you can get enough resources to talk to everybody. And if you have enough resources to talk to everybody, then you can target from there based on after you've talked to people who's persuadable and who's with you and who's not. So targeting is done when you have limited resources or just what large number of people you're trying to talk to. And then I would just say using the voter file based on people's past voting history, party registration, or anything else you can gather to help you kind of figure out who's most likely to be in your camp or most likely to be persuadable is where you start.
Jeremy, what would you, what characteristics make somebody a really good volunteer?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first thing is no volunteer, there's not like a profile of volunteerism, and I think that's really important to think about. When you think about any organization you're putting together, you're going to have a diversity of people. Like, people are going to come, some people are going to come in and want to help you out who, in their day job, they're engineers, and other people are going to come who, in their day job, are teachers, or you know, they're going to have just a varying backgrounds. And so I think the most important thing is to figure out, all right, how do I make the best use of somebody's skills to, you know, have the biggest impact on the campaign. And so what makes somebody the best volunteer, I think, is that they're committed, right? That they share your values and they're going to come in because they have that connection to the campaign. And that's going to get them to come back. It's going to get them to come in at 8 a.m., to do a canvas shift on Saturday. It's going to get them to be there on election day at 6 a.m. to open up the staging location. So if they're committed, that's the most important thing. And then secondly, do they believe in doing the work to communicate to voters, right? So some people might be really committed, but really they just want to go to the events. And that's like, that can be helpful because you need people, but really you want the people that are willing to go out and have conversations with voters. Or if they're not really good at that, which some people aren't, right, can they help support it in some other way, right? So the person who maybe is, you know, really like has data background can help you pull the lists and then enter the data, right? So That might be, but they're still committed to the process of having conversations with people and helping out in every way. So I think the number one thing is commitment, and then the second thing is their ability to sort of have that conversation. And then consistency, that they'll show up again, that they'll not, you know, that they'll prioritize it. And because when you get somebody that comes in constantly, it just makes you so much better, right? Because they'll get better at answering questions. They'll get better at understanding how to use the walk list and how to enter the data most. So we think about it a lot in campaigns with like recurring donors. Like somebody who clicks to say, I'm going to give you money once is great. Somebody who clicks to say, I'm going to give you every month is the best, because you can just count on them. And then you're just always building higher from that. So that's kind of how I think about volunteers.
Cool. So not somebody who just wants to hold signs all the time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's helpful too, right? And you want to use them where you need them. But, you know, and I think the big thing is people, you know, a lot of people are shy. A lot of people who have never done it before, you know, find it to be pretty intimidating. Just talk to a random stranger in some cases. Once they do it, they realize it's not as intimidating. In fact, it can be really, can be actually a very like life-giving thing. You're like having real conversations with people about what they care about. So sometimes getting somebody in who just wants to hold a sign first is fine, right? And then you start to move them into the sort of, you know, higher level leverage organizing. I think the other thing is the more you can communicate why and like really let them in on the strategy. So too many campaigns and organizers think like because I'm running the campaign, or I'm on the staff or even the candidate, like I don't need to share too much with people. Like they just need to do their task or whatever. But people don't want to be given tasks. They want to be given responsibilities. And they want to see the strategy, right? So if I'm able to talk to people about why, if we talk to 100 people and we know we can move 7 of them, or maybe we've seen that we can move 10 of them for every 100 that we talk to, if we do that this many times, we win. And then it's like, oh, okay, like going out and knocking on doors is like, it's about winning, right? And then it becomes about, and then, oh, that's about my values, because if we win, these environmental policies I care about are going to be represented by the person that I'm fighting. And so then all of a sudden it's like, you know what, I'm going to do this. And I'm actually going to do it with like a commitment to level to do it more. So yes, it's not just holding signs. I think sometimes you can move people into that by just like sharing with them a little bit more of the strategy, and then moving them up the ladder of engagement.
You get your hands on a voter file. What are ways, I guess, across both, you know, if you had a large budget or if you had a small budget, to organize the information that you have, contact history, how do you organize the information in a voter file in a usable way?
Yeah. So it depends on the file that you get, in terms of how you're able to organize it. So usually most voter files are web-based. So you're not like getting an Excel file. You're usually getting a web-based file of which you can easily, you know, it's kind of like, you almost always you're able to sort it very easily, right? So you don't need a data analytics degree. To at least like sort of sort the voter file and say, all right, I'm going to look at just people who live in this part of the district, or I want to look at just people who have voted in Republican primaries before, or I'm just going to look at people who have never voted in a primary. And you can kind of cut the different lists in that way. So I would organize it basically based on what phase of the campaign you're in. So early on, you want to have conversations. You know, say you're in a primary, right? Let's just take you're in a Republican primary. And you have a voter file and it's early on. You probably want to sort it by people who have voted in Republican primaries before, because you know they're going to vote. And then that's probably also where you're going to get your volunteers from. So you want to start there. And then further on you get in the campaign, you know, you might expand it to people who would vote Republican based on, you know, where they live or different characteristics, who haven't voted in Republican primaries before. Maybe they voted in one Republican primary in the past, but not two or three or four. So you kind of want to, you know, I really sort in terms of turnout by past, usually past voting history is going to be the primary driver, and then support. Usually you start with their party registration if you have it, or a lot of voter files will have a proxy for that. Like they'll sometimes have, if not, they didn't register when they signed up to, as a voter, because the state didn't require it, but There's often on the voter file like a proxy for that meeting. Usually a voter file will say, well, I didn't, you know, Trevor didn't sign up as a Democrat because there's no party registration, but he's voted in only Democratic primaries, so we assume he's likely to be a Democrat. And not everything, obviously, there's a lot of people, a lot of campaigns that want to go across party lines in general elections, et cetera, and that's great. But those two things will at least be the first things to look at is past voting for turnout, who's likely to vote, and then party register and proxy for like who you might want to talk to, at least at what phase of the campaign.
How do you keep keep volunteers motivated in a what could be a very rough and tumble 2018 cycle when there's all kinds of bad news coming from Washington? How do you get people still passionate and doing what they need to do each day?
Yeah, and it's like the best question, right? And motivation it's an incredibly difficult thing to do. The first thing I think is the campaign needs to be motivated, right? So everybody, like, if your candidate is motivated and energetic and, you know, like, it all starts from within, right? If you're self-motivated as a candidate and in a campaign, people are going to see that, right? So first, you got to have that. You got to find your own motivation. You know, if you're an organizer out there or you're a candidate out there, you got to find your own motivation. What drives you? You got to understand who you are, and you got to be really true to that because it is contagious. Secondly, though, when volunteers come in, it is story I like remember from one of the people who taught me about campaigning is like, you know, volunteer goes out, they get their clipboard, they go out, they knock on doors, they come back in. The campaign says, takes the clipboard, throws it on the table, says, thanks for coming, you know, great. The person, they're never coming back, right? Like they're never, because it didn't feel like what they did mattered. When I was, one of the campaigns I was working on, we were doing voter registration in the state. And if you do voter registration, you'll find if you go out, you might be out for an hour and collect 3 voter registration forms. That can be incredibly disempowering. You can feel like, do I matter? Like if I was here, would it even matter? So you have to show people that it does matter by like explaining to them. So what we would do is somebody would go out and they'd get 3 registration forms. We would send an email to everybody who registered people that day and be like, today we registered 1,000 people. And then it's like, oh man, my 3 people was part of this bigger thing. So you have to make it part of a bigger thing because each of us individually as a volunteer aren't going to win the election. We just aren't. But as a group, we can. And so you want to be motivated yourself. They'll see that. You want to recognize them when they do the work and connect it to a greater thing. And then, you know, it's like small things, right? You want to thank people. You want to send them thank you notes. You want to include them in special events. You know, you want to do conference calls just with them. You want to bring them into the strategy. You know, the famous 2008 Pluff thing was he did the conference call and the slideshow with like how we're going to win Florida. That was a long time ago, but it was one of the first campaigns to say to volunteers, like, I'm going to talk directly to you and not to the press or to donors or to politicos about how we're going to win. I'm going to talk to you directly. And people were like, wow, like, I'm a part of this campaign. When I've worked on campaigns, last thing I'll say here is what you ultimately want to get to is you want a volunteer to say, you know, in their email, Morgan, comma, you know, volunteer leader, X campaign, or like put the sticker on it says I'm a volunteer leader. You want them to like own it, to be proud of it, to have it feel like something that's better than, just, you know, that's bigger than like a volunteer event. You want them to feel like I'm a part of the campaign. When they start saying we instead of you, that's when you got it, right? That's when people are like, oh, I'm a part of this campaign. When they see it as like you're running the campaign, you're the professionals over there, or you're the candidate and I'm just the volunteer, you know. And so the last thing I'd say, and then I'll shut up for real, is if you actually believe that the volunteer coming in is going to help you win, you'll act that way. If you don't believe it, you won't. And so if you think it's just icing or sprinkles on the cake, you're going to treat it that way. If you think it's the cake, then you have to actually believe that. To me, when I hired field directors to work in states across the country, the most important thing was not their resume, it was that they actually believe it. Do they believe the program that they were running was the difference between winning or losing? If they didn't believe it, they weren't gonna stay up and come back and have that commitment. If they really believed that, they were gonna do those things that showed the volunteers that they believed it, and then that would cascade down.
Great. I have one last question, then I'll see if Morgan has any. But text messaging has become a more important tactic in field campaigns, especially with the 2016 cycle, but also it's becoming a bigger deal in this cycle too. So what do you think is the value of having a text messaging program? Should it be something that more candidates think about, or do you think that it'll be something that will be popular for a cycle or two and will kind of become less prominent in a couple of years?
Yeah, I should have put that up here as a tactic, because it's really important. So as I mentioned on campaigns, phones, the ability to reach somebody on their phone has gone down, right? In part because, it used to be that on the voter file, all the phones were landlines, and that's just sort of dropping. And it's harder to get, cell phone numbers that people will give out freely, and then it's harder to get them to answer. So text messaging, has almost 100% open rate, right? I mean, very few people don't look at their text, right? They're gonna see it. There's two ways to think about text messaging, I think, and there's two ways to think about kind of all of the different tactics of communication. It's like, how do you communicate to your people that are with you, that are on your team, the volunteers, and then how do you communicate to voters? For the volunteer piece, text messaging can be incredibly, incredibly, incredibly beneficial, because you can easily communicate with all your volunteers about what's going on with the campaign. Again, it's a way to keep them feeling engaged, and a way to keep that relationship going. And you can recruit them to things, et cetera. There's two types of text messaging programs, though. There's one-way text messaging, and then there's two-way text messaging. So I'll take two examples. There's a company called Mobile Commons and others that do kind of one-way text messaging. You can send it to a lot of people. And then there's a company called Hustle, where they have relational text messaging. What that means is, as an organizer, I can have all my volunteers on my text list, and I can send them all a message and then have conversation back with them. So you want to have, on the volunteer side, whatever the technology is, you want to have a text message program that allows you to have real relational back and forth. And you can get people to sign up to events, you can connect it to your voter file, et cetera. That's an awesome program for your volunteer recruitment. Then there's text messaging, blasting your communication to people. And that can be effective. It can also be not effective if you didn't get the numbers in the right way or whatever. But it can be effective, as I've now reached, just to educate people on the campaign and who you are. But I think, for the perspective of this, if you're running a 21st century modern day campaign, you should have text messaging. It's not that expensive for your volunteer base and for those people who are with you, and you should be communicating with them and your staff constantly through it. And people should feel it as one of the ways that they're most connected. And it should ideally connect to your event system, whatever that is, so that people can, you can say, hey, I got this event. These 100 people are in my, they're my volunteers. And they're, you come to this event, just press one or whatever. And it's very easy to sign people up for events. It doesn't replace the ability to build relationships and be face-to-face, but it can really help you organize. And then in terms of using it to actually contact voters, it can be effective, but you need to be very careful about it not feeling spammy, which is true of email and other things.
Awesome. I have one last question, which is, as we get closer to the general election, you're going to have more kind of outside folks getting in the mix and getting invested in your campaign. It might be the party, it might be friendly groups, whatever. How do you sort of seamlessly incorporate them into your field efforts? And how do you decide what to divide and conquer?
Yeah, it's a great question. So you'll find this, first thing I'd say is you're not normal in the sense that you're listening to this because you're either running for office or care about this. And so when you start running for office, it'll probably be it'll be far out from the election, and it will be incredibly annoying that people aren't paying enough attention. And then if you fast forward till, the day before the election, all of a sudden so many people who you had talked to months ago are paying attention are now totally paying attention. As you're building, you'll notice that early on you'll have a more hardcore group of people, and then it will start to get more and more people will start to get engaged. That's just how elections work. It's how we work as people. We do things last minute. We pay attention to things last minute. It just happens, especially it cascades in terms of age as well. That's true of organizations as well. As we get closer to election day, you've been working really hard on this, you've been building it up, all of a sudden people will come in from the outside saying, oh, now I care about this race. And be like, where were you when I was trying to win the primary? But first thing is like you want to have the, you want to have a net that's able to capture all of that late energy. So if you've built out a real volunteer base, it's like foundation, you can build on it. If you don't have very much there, you're not going to be able to catch it, right? So you want to have a ton of that volunteer leadership built out so that when more and more people, whether they're organizations or people that are paying attention, start coming in, you're able to capture them. The big thing will be legal. So, you know, where it's party or some group that can do, you know, electoral work, it's easy. It's those groups that might be outside groups or, you know, independent expenditures where you can't talk to them. You just have to, like, let them do their thing. And in that case, I think in all cases, you just want to have a great operation that's covering all your bases. And then I would say my advice on the, like, do you want to split stuff up is it's very, very risky to, like, give part of your turf or part of your operation to some outside group and hope they do it well. Where you have a lot of trust and they have, maybe they've done this really well somewhere else, or, you know, there's one group that's like the best voter registration group in like your area, and like they're always going to do the registration no matter what. You don't have to do that piece of it. Maybe that's something you sort of like let other groups do. But I would just be very careful about the like, hey, you got that, we've got this. You want to, and the way that you can really bring the most people in and utilize them at their best is to have an awesome organization with a lot of volunteer leadership. And it doesn't rely on one person to take all the incoming. Like anybody that comes in can sort of have, you know, if there's enough people to handle it, then you'll be able to really maximize that outside group that just wants to send all their volunteers to you at the end, because you can actually take them. So that's the most important thing. The other thing I would say about that gets you there is when you start, think about election day and what you need to run election day, and then you can work everything back from that. And that will help your staff and your volunteers think about it as well. Okay, on election day, we're gonna need 100 staging locations and we're gonna need 1,000 volunteers. And so here's where we are in terms of getting there, and they can think about where they're trying to go. And it'll be, that also is motivating to people as they think about, oh, I need to recruit more volunteers because when it comes to election day, I wanna be the guy with, or the woman with, you know, not enough people at my staging location or not enough people volunteering. So that's helpful too in thinking about how you would take in people that come at the end.
Well, thank you so much for this.
Yeah, of course.
Really useful for our guys.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks for having me.